On Sunday, January 10th at 11 p.m., Sugar My Bowl presents guitarist, composer, and blues man, James Blood Ulmer. Join us as we discuss James Blood Ulmer's career and prepare for his appearance at the Winter Jazz Festival. That's Sunday, January 10th at 11 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web. Listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM, WBAI.org on the web. Sugar My Bowl is the name of this program. My name's Joyce Jones. Our guest for this evening is guitarist, composer, and blues man, James Blood Ulmer. James Blood Ulmer is going to be featured at the Winter Jazz Festival during the first of the marathon nights on January 15th. And James Blood Ulmer will be at the New School at 9 p.m. That's the New School Auditorium on 12th Street, 66 West 12th Street. If you want to find out more about the Winter Jazz Festival, just go to www.winterjazzfest.com, or you can go to our Sugar page and get a rundown created by our associate producer, Hank Williams, of the Sugar guests who are going to be in attendance at the Winter Jazz Festival. This is the third installment of our coverage of the Winter Jazz Festival, and we saved one of the best for last, one of the veterans in this industry, and you will hear why James Blood Ulmer is a favorite among music lovers. Stay tuned. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org on the web. Sugar in My Bowl coming up now.
In my bowl,
violence, violence. The violence that's living in us is so deep. That's human violence, that's structural violence, that behavioral violence, that sexual violence, that official and unofficial violence. It's nothing but violence, violence, violence. That police violence, that clergy violence, that family violence, that economic violence, that global violence, that military violence, that psychological violence, that personal violence, that gang violence. Rape, rape's a pure form of violence. The birth of violence is the violence of birth. Leave it there, leave it there. The violence within us is deep. So deep. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. Direct and indirect violence, that productive and reproductive violence, that amateur and anonymous and insidious violence, that political pent-up and legitimate violence, that judicial and collective violence, that imperialistic and automatic violence, that drunk and static and viral violence, that capital, atomic, and cult kind of violence, that violence will sink your soul. Violence, violence, violence. It's violence enforced prostitution. services, violence and hypocrisy, and violence and bourgeois democracy, violence and technology, and violence and vocabulary, violence and privilege, and violence and power, war and sports and business and violence. Leave it there. Leave it there. Depression, repression, suppression, oppression. Depression, repression, suppression, oppression. It's the victim and the victimizer. The victim and the victimizer. The sacrifice and the one who sacrifices. The sacrifice and the one who sacrifices. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. Intolerance, deprivation, complicity, torture, domination, pain, leave no traces, avoid the pain, leave no traces, pain, grief and fear and blood, pain, leave no traces, the violence inside of us is deep, so deep, so deep, give it up if you don't really want it, give it up if you don't really want it. It's violence and love, and violence and ideology, and violence and discrimination, and violence and religion, and violence and art, and violence and hate, and violence and ignorance, and violence and racism, and violence and monopoly, and violence and poverty, and violence and hunger, and violence and resentment, and that vomiting reactionary violence, corporate violence, industrial violence, urban violence, ethnic violence, pharmaceutical violence, the violence of AIDS, drugs, and terrorism. Put a muzzle on violence. Put a muzzle on violence. Violence, that brittle violence, that blinded violence, that trusted violence, that wet violence, that cold violence, that hidden violence, that funny violence, that blunt violence, that bold violence, that obsolete violence, that absolute violence, that provocative violence, that preventive violence, that right violence, that irrelevant violence, that protective violence, that safe violence, that nasty violence, that clean violence, that bleak violence, that empty violence, that compassionate violence, that competitive violence, that modern violence, that mass media violence, that traditional violence, that violence for the sake of violence, that necessary and unnecessary violence. Let the violence be known. Give it up if you don't really want it.
Hi, my name is Joyce Jones, and I am visiting
James Blood Omer.
James Blood Omer, thank you for allowing Sugar in My Bowl to visit you in your space here, your big palace in New York City. Now, I'm going to mention this again. You were born February 2nd, and you told me, or 8th, 1942, in St. Matthew, South Carolina?
Yes, that's right.
Everything else is right, but it's definitely
40. Okay, I was born in 1940. That's what the police said. Well, I was born in 1940, February 2nd or February 8th.
Well, the great thing is that you were born, and you were born in South Carolina.
Yeah,
Where you first started playing music, was it in church?
No, in my house. My dad taught me how to play the guitar, that's all.
Yeah, I heard that the guitar was the instrument of choice because that's the one that was in the house. Is that true?
Yeah. My dad played the guitar. It wasn't an occupation. Everybody played the guitar. Everybody who had a house played something. It had an instrument in the house. Some people had a guitar, some people had an organ. Everybody in my town, they used whatever instrument they had. My father was more of a jukebox player than a guitar player, but he had a guitar and he played the guitar because he liked gospel music. And he played and sang gospel music, but it wasn't about playing the guitar. It was about singing gospel music.
So are y'all ready to go? Just let me know when you're ready. Oh, you're ready to go? Okay. Damn. I'm like... I'm gonna take my music back to the cage where the blues were misunderstood. Some people think that it was song of the devil, but it was the soul of the man for sure. I'm gonna
sang gospel as well?
I was a Baptist person in church from birth till I left South Carolina. We all went to church every Sunday and every function that goes on to a church. Church was the only activity for black people in the South. So my father and my mother, they was people of the church. And you go to church and you sing and do whatever they do in the church.
Right.
On a song I record that I did that was in church, I made up a song myself called Let's Talk About Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. Talk about the Lord. Let's talk about Jesus. Back to Lord. Oh, you're sick and you know the day. And makes you comfortable. And just because God is God, He manifests everything that He says. I don't remember the song I learned in church. What I talk about is I'm melodic. I'm a music activist. I'm a guitar activist. And I am not for anything that goes like it goes. I think that slavery would put in music, and I think that that's what they use most.
I understood that West Montgomery is one of your...
Yeah, I like West Montgomery because they say that he was the best city at the time. He was a leading black guitar player, along with some other players. Johnny Smith and him shared the spot in who was the first or the second on the pole in the downbeat. Yeah, I like Russell Montgomery. That was my favorite guitar player, but not that I was into his music, because I don't play the same kind of music he played. But my idea of music and everything have changed since Russell Montgomery.
Could you describe when you decided to come to New York, what was happening musically around you?
Before I came to New York, I lived in Detroit. And the same musician who played in Detroit is the same musician who played in New York. I was listening to Miles Davis, John Coltrane, everybody. They're the same person all over. So it wasn't like a New York music and a Detroit music. The people were different, but I don't think the music, everybody was trying to copy Miles and whoever was the stars in the music, I guess. Except me, I was playing the guitar, and when I was coming up playing the guitar, they didn't have guitars in bands that I liked. Guitar players had to play in background music for the big band. All of the musicians I liked didn't have guitar players. I would have always had a band to play since I was 18 years old. When I was living in Pittsburgh and I moved to Columbus, Ohio, then I got a band called Blood and the Blood Brothers. But I was a young person then, and I wanted to play the music that I wanted to play when I wasn't working with somebody else. You had to keep working. In other words, I was in a band called the Hank Monk Quartet. But then I had a band that I got together to play with when Hank Ma didn't have a job.
And I read somewhere that you had played doo-wop.
When I first left South Carolina and went to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, that's when I started playing with doo-wop. I mean, I had stopped playing music, and then when I came to Pittsburgh, I started playing music at that point again. And then I started playing with doo-wop group because they was the groups in the street singing, and then it was the easiest way for me to get in to play with somebody. And I didn't have an instrument, so the guy in the doo-wop group bought me a guitar and an amplifier to play with them. That's how I started.
Had he heard you play, or he just heard that you played guitar?
Well, I told him I played the guitar. Then I played on some stuff at a rehearsal with them, and then I don't know where he got the instrument from, but he got it, and then after a while, they liked the way I played with that group, so he bought me my first guitar and amplifier.
Father.
Everybody.
When did you start to play what you wanted to play from your music, from something that you heard in your head?
I started playing that as soon as I started playing the guitar. Every time you play an instrument, you play what's inside of you. You can't play anything else. That's what music comes from, inside, from the heart.
And having heard you say that, tell me about harmonics.
Who discovered the harmonic was Ornette Coleman.
Thank you.
melodic, first time I heard that word was from Onekoma. That was after I moved from Detroit to New York. And I got with Coleman, and his drummer brought me to his house.
Billy Higgins?
Yeah, and he brought me to his house, and then I played with him and Billy Higgins. And Coleman told me I was a natural harmonic player and come over and play with him. So that's how that happened. I started with harmonic because Coleman said I was a natural harmonic player.
This is something that I heard with regard to what harmonic theory of music composition and improvisation. It says, whereby on a scale of whole tones, every person in the ensemble could solo at one time and stay in this new harmony. Is that accurate?
I don't know about that.
Okay.
Because I never described harmonic notes. I don't think so. I don't know. The only thing I know about harmonic, the only best way I can describe harmonic that way, you have harmonic music and then free improvised music. And the difference between free improvised music and harmonic music, free improvised music is when you musicians go on the stage and don't know what they're going to play. They just start playing what they're going to play right then. They start playing. With harmonic music, you have to know what you're playing before you start playing. Simple as that. Right now, if you pick up a guitar and start strumming on it, and you're not a guitar player, then you are playing free. You're just playing something. You're not organized. But if you're going to play harmonic, if you pick up a guitar, you have to already know what you're going to do with it. Harmonic is not free. Ain't nothing about harmonic is free. The word free don't go with harmonic, because you have to know what you're going to play before you start playing. People think it's free because they don't know what's in your mind, what you're going to play. Music is before instrument, and music is before the player, and music is before the Beatles. Harmonic is music. Uh-huh. It's there before the instrument. It's come from inside. You know, that's why people who understand music is sometimes more clever of a musician than a player. Because people who like music, they like it from the right spot, and they don't have to deal with trying to transpose that to an instrument.
Okay. Thank you.
know I'm skipping around. You want to tell me what you did in Detroit?
I started playing music in Pittsburgh. Went on the road for years with that group, and then I moved to Columbus, Ohio. Started playing with organ players. I played with organ players for 10 years, and then I stopped playing with organ, and then I moved to Detroit. And I came off the road, and I stayed in Detroit for 5 years without going on any road to analyze what I was doing and just find out what I was playing on the guitar. I tried to technically nail down what I was doing. And we had a group called Focus Novi, which I had a chance to rehearse with them regularly, and we used to play creative, what we call creative music. In other words, rehearsing how you think you want to play music. And then I did that, and then I was a teacher at the Detroit Metropolitan Art Complex for a year and a half in Detroit. That's what I did in Detroit.
What'd you teach?
I was teaching band. Teaching young kids how to operate a band. Get the bass player playing their part, drummer playing their part, and everybody playing their part, and then they could create a band. So I was a band teacher for the complex, for the young kids. And I would play the guitar. So kids who played the guitar and bass and whatever, they would come to me, and I would form a band with them.
And that's when you came to New York after that?
Yeah.
Were you living here when you were hanging out with Ornette Coleman?
No, I lived in Coleman House for a while. And then I moved here in 1975, I think.
And you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org on the web. Sugar in My Bowl is the name of this program. Our guest for this evening is James Blood Ulmer. And what you're listening to in the background is from the In the Name of Music Revelation Ensemble. This is one of James Blood Ulmer's projects, Music Revelation Ensemble. Abundance is the name of this selection. And it was released in 1994 on Disc Union, DIW Columbia, Japan label. James Blood Ulmer on guitar, Arthur Blythe on alto saxophone, Cornell W. Rochester on drums, and Amin Ali on electric bass. And before that, we heard another selection from In the Name of Music Revelation Ensemble. In Time is the name of the selection. And on this recording, James Blood Ulmer is on guitar, Sam Rivers is on soprano saxophone, Cornell W. Rochester on drums, and Amin Ali on electric bass. Before that, we heard Swings and Things from James Blood Ulmer's Odyssey release. This was originally recorded in 1983. This is a Columbia Records 1996 release. James Blood Ulmer on guitar and vocals, Warner Benbow on drums, and Charles Burnham on violin. I love Charles Burnham. He's amazing. If you get a chance to hear him, see him. Actually, he's fun to watch, and he's great to listen to. So check him out if you are able to catch him. Charles Burnham. B-U-R-N-H-A-M. And before that, we heard Revelation March from James Blood Ulmer's Tales of Captain Black. This was originally recorded in 1978, a 1996 Disc Union DIW Columbia Japan release. James Blood Ulmer on guitar, Ornette Coleman on tenor saxophone, Jamila Dean Takuma on bass, and Donardo Coleman on drums. Before that, we heard I Believe in You. That's James Blood Ulmer from In and Out. It's a 2009 In-N-Out Records release. James Blood Ulmer on guitar, Mark Peterson on electric bass, double upright acoustic bass, and Aubrey Dale on drums. Before that, we heard Let's Talk About Jesus from James Blood Ulmer's Bad Blood in the City, the Piety Street Sessions. This is a 2007 Hyena Records release. James Blood Ulmer on vocals and guitar, produced by Vernon Reed, and Vernon Reed's on electric and acoustic guitar on other recordings. Charles Burnham, my fave, is on electric fiddle and mandolin. Leon Gruenbaum on electric piano, Fender Rhodes, organ, Hammond B3, keyboards, just general keyboards. He's on a mellotron and clarinet as well. David Barnes on harmonica, Mark Peterson on electric bass, and double upright acoustic bass, and Aubrey Dale on drums and percussion, assorted percussion. Before that, we heard Take My Music Back to the Church. That's from James Blood Ulmer's solo guitar and vocal release, Birthright. This is a 2005 Hyena Records release. Before that, we heard Dialogue on Violence from Jane Cortez. We didn't get to talk about Jane Cortez, so I had to start the program off with her. It just wouldn't have been right. As a matter of fact, we will end the program with another selection from Jane Cortez. This is from Borders of Disorderly Time. It's a 2003 Bola Records release. It's Jane Cortez on vocals, Donardo Coleman on drums, Alex Harding on baritone saxophone. He's doing the solo. Frank Lowe is the tenor saxophone solo. Charnette Moffat on bass, Bern Nix on guitar, and James Blood Ulmer is the guitar soloist. And we opened our program with our usual I Want a Little Sugar in My Bowl, Nina Simone, from the very best of Nina Simone, Sugar in My Bowl, 1967-1972. This was originally recorded in 1967. This is an RCA BMG release, 1998 compilation. Stay tuned for our associate producer, Hank Williams, and On the Bandstand, where he'll share some information of how to find out more about the Winter Jazz Festival and what former sugar guests are going to be there, and find out what other music is going on around town. All this going on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web, where we are, thank you heavens, still streaming. Stay tuned.
Good evening, jazz fans. This is Hank Williams, and welcome to On the Bandstand for January 10th. This segment features aerial listings of Sugar and My Bowl guests so you can see them live. And this week's guest is guitarist James Blood Ulmer. You can see him in January at the Winter Jazz Fest on the 15th, and we have lots more music for you this week, including general info on the Winter Jazz Fest and Arts for Arts, Justice's Compassion Festival, all the way at the end of the segment. And remember that if you miss something, all of this is on our blog. We start this time with pianist Vijay Iyer, who's at the Stone on the 13th with Matana Roberts, and at the Asia Society on the 23rd. Guitarist Julian Lage is at Cornelia Street Cafe on the 13th, and closes out the Winter Jazz Fest on the 17th. Saxophonist Tia Fuller leads a quartet at Smoke from the 13th to the 14th. Also at Smoke is saxophonist Billy Harper, who leads a quintet from the 15th to the 17th. Pianist Onaje Allen Gums leads a trio at BAM Cafe with free shows from the 13th to the 15th. Vocalist Kurt Elling is at Birdland with selections from his Passion World release from the 13th to 16th. And saxophonist Gary Bartz leads a quartet at the new Cassandra's Jazz Club and Gallery in Harlem from the 13th to 16th and 22nd to 23rd. Vocalists Liz Wright and Dee Dee Bridgewater are at B.B. King's on the 15th. Low brass specialist on tuba Joe Daly is at Terra Blues with Hazmat Modine on the 16th. And the Harlem Jazz Parlor Festival hosts trombonist Craig Harris on the 16th and Joe Daly on the 18th. Reservations and info are at welcometoharlem.com. That's welcome to Harlem.com for your reservations, which are required for this. Saxophonist Ravi Coltrane will be at the John Coltrane Home in Dix Hills, Long Island on the 20th. Vocalist Renee Marie is at Jazz at Lincoln Center's Dizzy's Club from the 21st to the 24th. Saxophonist Gary Bartz is at the Blue Note on the 25th with legendary pianist McCoy Tyner. They're also there on February 1st, 15th, and March 1st. And McCoy's been less public lately, so it's a good idea to catch one of these dates and see the last remaining member of Coltrane's band in action. Also at Blue Note is drummer Roy Haynes from the 26th to the 27th. And drummer Craig Haynes has a crowdfunding campaign to support making a CD and DVD of his band's performance at the 2016 Dakar Gore Jazz Festival. Look for his Facebook page for info or search for Jazz in Dakar on Indiegogo for info, and we'll link it on our blog. And we wrap this week with two jazz festivals. Vision Fest producers, the Arts for Arts organization's Justice's Compassion Festival, continues at the Lower East Side's Clemente Soto Velez Center until the 24th, with performances almost every night. Among the many acts there are drummer Hamid Drake, bassist William Parker, and dancer Patricia Nicholson Parker. Details are at the Arts for Art website, which we also have linked. And the Winter Jazz Fest blows back into town this week at various venues around Greenwich Village from the 13th through 17th, and to marathon nights of music on the 15th and 16th. We've recently profiled James Blood Ulmer and Julian Lage, but there are too many other guests to name right now. Go to our blog, where our annual cheat sheet will give you an in-depth preview with listening suggestions, and look for a full review after it's done. That's all for this week. If you missed anything, full listings are on the blog. Go to sugarinmybowl.org and click the link for the blog, where you'll also find reviews, features, and jazz news. Sugar is spelled S-U-G-A, and if you're on Twitter or Facebook, look for us there too. Playlists and audio from this and previous shows are also on the site. If you like what we do, please help WBAI stay on the air by pledging whatever you can, and consider becoming a WBAI buddy with a monthly pledge. See the Support WBAI link on our site for more. This is Hank Williams signing off. With our bi-weekly schedule, we're off the air next week, but we'll have updated event listings online and be back on WBAI on Sunday, January 24th. Either way you connect, we'll see you next time on the Bandstand.
You're tuned to WBAI, the station that tells our story and tells it like it is. This is Mabel Williams, widow of Robert F. Williams, Negroes with Guns, and you're listening to WBAI, New York, 99.5 FM.
And I mean every word of it.
Thank you.
Why did you leave playing with Ornette Coleman?
Why did I leave?
Yeah.
Nobody ever asked me that before. I thought I was fired out of that band. I called it fired, but he wanted to try something else. Coleman was a person who tried a different thing. And when I played with him, I basically studied the harmonic music system with Coleman. Mm-hmm. Lived in his house without playing any gigs or anything. All we worked on was music, notes. How harmonic go, what it is, how you do it. He was trying to find out how to put the guitar into his music. And I was the one he was experimenting with because he said I was a natural harmonic player and he didn't know about the guitar, so he wanted me to play the guitar so he can find out how it works into what he was doing. Because he played the trumpet and the violin and the alto, mm-hmm. but he wanted to find out about the guitar because he never used the piano, so the guitar seemed like to be pretty harmonic to him. Mm-hmm. Then after some years, I met him in 71 or something, and he drilled me for about 2 or 3 years, and then he decided to get 2 guitar players, double trio thing, prime time.
Who was the other
guitar? I have nothing to do with prime time.
Oh, okay.
Nothing at all to do with prime time. The guitar player that was in prime time was Charlie Elbert. I can't say his last name. Charlie and Vernon Nix in that Primetime Band. Mm-hmm. And when he finished with the Primetime Band, he went back to playing with a quartet. So he tried different stuff. He wasn't like a one-track-minded person.
You're another person who doesn't stand still, fortunately. You have different combinations as well, musically.
Yeah.
You want to tell us something about...
I got it in my hand.
Oh, okay.
I do project with the Black Rock Experience Project.
Yes.
I do a project called Memphis Blood Blues Band.
Yes.
And I do the New York Jazz Quartet, but I don't do it too much right now. And
oh.
I do the... Music Revelation Ensemble.
That's it. Music and, Revelation Ensemble.
And then I do Amalati guitar with string, with violin
yes.
and string.
Thank you.
Solo.
Okay.
And I forgot about the Odyssey. I was doing that for a long time. And in my doing that is because nowadays the promoters don't hire the same band. Oh, you have to have a different... I mean, all musicians are going to have to really face this problem, because the problem is with music today, you have to have different ideas for different things. I hope they get something from this, because it's not easy, because you have to work on everything separately every time, and it's hard. And a lot of musicians don't really like to work that hard. They like to work hard on what they're doing, but you got to do more than one thing.
There are a couple of projects you mentioned there.
Do you want to talk about the makeup of them? What makes them different? What is different about them?
The project is different expressions of, I think of homolotic is an application, something that you apply to something, and I call myself applying homolotic to all form of black music, except for hip-hop. Hip-hop is already homolotic. They're too homolotic, really, but they're homolotic already.
Okay.
But homolotic can be applied to any form of black American music. I knew it worked because that's how I was able to come up with these different projects and make them work. Not just come up with them, they really work. And it makes me get work. That's why I say it's working. And that's the whole thing about it, is we have to put homolotic on this music to take slavery out of the music, because slavery is in all our music. And if you're doing it, and they recognize it, they give you a lot of work doing that, doing the slavery music.
What is that? What is slavery? Just describe it so people know
gospel,
when they hear it.
Gospel, rock and roll, blues, jazz.
What makes it slavery?
Avant-garde. Huh?
What makes it slavery?
It's a concept. My father protected me from slavery. When I was a kid, all we had to do was go to church and go to school. I didn't have to get no job. I wasn't on no farm. And he made that possible. And I love him for that, because his children wasn't no slaves, even though I brought up in segregated time. But I noticed music, when people sing music, they're singing about stuff that is don't help us out at all. And when they play, they follow. The music system is basically that we use in America is the Western music system. You can go to college to learn it. You can go to school. You can go to people who teach it, and they still learn it. And grown people, children, everybody is learning this system. And it's all deriving, I think, from the piano. It's basically built into piano. You have to follow the piano. The piano have it already in there. Everything is in order. But music was before instrument. So that's why I say slavery, not because nobody's beating somebody upside the head.
Right.
But people are doing it because they want to, because they are following a certain system.
And the system, people are enslaved by that piano system.
There you go.
Okay.
That's what homolotic is, the abandonment of Western music. Because music was before instrument, and it was before somebody who played the instrument. Music came from the inside.
Right.
And they say, like, if you were looking for God, God exists into the heart of a believer. And that's where music comes from, the same place.
We were talking about you and your relationship with Ornette Coleman earlier, but people always bring it up, Tales of Captain Black.
Yeah.
I understood that the opportunity to do that was as a result of a record label you were working with Ornette Coleman.
No, that was Coleman's idea. It wasn't mine.
Okay.
And he made that record to prove that his theory of homiletic work. And he didn't tell me this.
That's a way of looking at it.
That's one of my favorite records. Well, I'll show you what I'm saying. I went to sleep one night, and I woke up, and I dreamt this tune right here. I play this tune all the time. This is a tune I play with Odyssey. But it don't have no chords, and it don't have no scales. It don't have nothing to tell me to play on the regular tuning. And then he come up, and I said, Coleman, listen to this tuning. He said, what was that, blood? I said, oh, I like it. I started playing it. And he started liking it. He said, oh, it sounds good. And he picked up his horn. I said, play E flat. I said, Coleman, I ain't got no E flat. E flat sound like this. This is normal. The way I'm tuned, okay. If I had played this finger tune with the guitar regular, it would have been E flat. Mm-hmm. Play C. Now, you don't hear that as E flat. And then you don't hear this as C. Because chords don't exist in this tune in that way of Western sound. Because of the tuning. And I play in this tune as much as possible. It was escape the Western concept.
Yeah.
Because the Western concept is you have to play chords, and you have to follow scales, and you have to play in key, and you have to have a key. But this tuning eliminates all that, which to me proved, I was convinced that what he was saying about harmonic exists. So this tuning is the proof that harmonic does exist. I can play regular tuning and make it sound like that too. But I can play what you call harmonic tuned to the right way, tuned to the way the guitar plays, but I don't...
To the Western way.
Yeah. Yeah, I can tune it that way and still play like it tuned like this.
When you were talking about your father and him giving you the opportunity to not have to...
Be a slave.
To be a slave.
Yeah.
Right. You sing about that on Birthright.
I sing about it on everything.
Yeah, yeah, but there are several selections on Birthright.
I ain't never never been no white angel. I ain't never been no white angel. My mama didn't send me to school, and I ain't never learned a white man rule.
The man
called Geechee Joe. He was my grandpa, and I love him so. He was a hard-working man who made a stand, cause he didn't want to work for the white man. Left home at an early age. He left his daughter for his mama to raise. And just as soon as he heard about me, he tried to get with the family. Geechee Joe was my grandpa. Geechee Joe had a plan. As soon as he got to Pittsburgh, in his neighborhood, he was a man. Took me in. I was his grandson, and every day he tried to win on numbers, girls, and he drank gin. Geechee Joe with my grandpa, Geechee Joe. Never took a job unless he was the boss, cause he didn't want to work for the white man. Did the construction work, numbers was his game, and it didn't hurt, cause every time he got a chance to win, he beat the town red in the same day. Geechee Joe with my grandpa, Geechee Joe. I get a hard working man, I made a stand, cause he didn't want to work for the white man. At 85, he took care of his woman for most of his life. Nothing hard for people to say, cause he did something good every day. Geechee Joe with my grandpa, Geechee Joe, had a plan. Never take a job unless he was the boss, cause he didn't want to work for the white man. Geechee Joe, my grandpa, Geechee Joe. A hard-working man, and instead of staying, cause he didn't want to work for the man. Geechee Joe died at 91, he called on me. Now was the time to make a stand, so I put him in the ground and stuck to his plan. Geechee Joe was my grandpa, Geechee Joe. A hard-working man who made a stand, but he didn't want to work for the man. A hard-working man who made a stand, but he didn't want to work for the man.
I ain't never been in the white man jail.
Yeah.
Well, that's the part of the stuff. Mm-hmm. I ain't never learned the white man rule. I ain't been to the white man school. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Me and my brothers, my sister, my dad had 7 children, 8. But my daddy didn't even want us to do anything for my mother. He told my brother one time, "Don't you ever buy my wife no medicine. I buy my wife medicine."
Oh.
I said, "Oh my God. I take care of y'all. I take care of this house." And I like him for that. He took care of his house. Boy, he was a heck of a woman. He might have been a Baptist preacher.
Because I heard a story about when you were told you had to get a job.
Well, that's what I was talking about when I stopped playing the guitar. When I stopped playing the guitar when I was 13 years old, and wasn't going to play the guitar no more. And when I left South Carolina, I moved to Pittsburgh, and then we went to my cousin, and there, she had a three-story flat there, and she had about seven of us from down south that came to live with her. And all summer, she let us play it around free, and my granddaddy lived around the corner, and he would give me money, and I didn't have to do anything, but we, all the summer, we just was having fun, learning about Pittsburgh, going to the zoo, going to the park, not thinking about anything. And then after a while, summer was about over, so she said, you guys got to get a job. I said, what? Job? And I said, well, how much money we got to get a job? What y'all got to pay rent. I said, pay rent, okay. How much? She said, $6 a week. I said, okay. I said, well, if I can get $6 a week without getting a job, would it be all right? She said, yes, if you don't long, you don't steal it. That's when I remembered that I used to play the guitar. And them brother was on the corner, remind me of gospel singing doo-wop. Mm-hmm. I went to a woman on the corner, and I said, listen here, man, I play the guitar. And then y'all need a guitar player. I told them they needed a guitar because they had no guitar. So you play the guitar? I said, yeah, I play the guitar. I said, come practice with us. I said, well, I ain't got no guitar. They got me one.
Right.
And then I started playing with them, and they said, wow. So I started playing the guitar because I didn't want to get a job. Simple as that.
Think I'm a jerk, 'cause I never bother to work. I want you to know how I feel. I'm too lazy to work and too nervous to steal. All the boys along the stroll buy me juice, all the juice I can hold. And though I can hardly get a square meal, I'm too lazy to work and too nervous to steal. All the boys in tails and tucks, looking like a million bucks. Though my bankroll is badly bent, I make every social defense. Don't need a Cadillac car, I'll never travel that far. All the girls call me a heel, I'm too lazy to work and too nervous to steal.
That's why I know instrument ain't got nothing to do with music. Instrument don't have anything to do with music. I would have still had music inside of me without playing the guitar.
Right.
The same as people who have music inside of them who don't play instrument but like music. Same thing.
So tell me about playing with Pharoah Sanders.
He ain't never hired me. I hired him.
Okay. Why you hire him?
I played every major horn player on my records in New York. Coleman, Pharoah Sanders, David Murray, Sam Rivers, Oliver Lake, all of the horn players in New York City that was playing avant-garde music. When I got my record, after I made that record with Coleman, they thought that was phenomenal for me to be playing the guitar. So I got every horn player. I hired them. They didn't hire me. Nobody hired me since Coleman. Coleman was the last band I played with. I stopped playing with him in 1974. And that's the last time anybody called me up and said they want me to play with them. Because the way I played didn't fit the way they played. And they never called me. So So I had to get my own band. So that's why I wound up doing what I do. Look, I have a few people calling me now to play like I play with them.
At the Winter Jazz Festival, you're going to be playing solo, you say?
Yeah, solo. I have a solo project, and I play solo a lot. I have solo records. I got solo. Hey, I'm solo. Mm-hmm. I like solo. I like solo better than all since I've gotten older. I just feel like after I get 75 years old, what else can you do? Try to take care of yourself. You know, I got 7 kids and 9 grandchildren and 5 great-grandchildren. It'll drive you crazy. So you have to take care of yourself. That if you want to still be around.
That's
if you
right.
don't, then you can indulge in all kind of stuff and talk all kind of stuff. You need to take some time to think about yourself.
So you want to share what kind of selections you'll be sharing at the Winter Jazz Festival? I know you're going to be playing solo, but what?
I play blues.
Okay.
I call it political blues.
Mm-hmm. You going to sing?
Yeah, that's what I do. I sing and play blues. The same as you heard on Birthright.
Okay.
I add a few instrumentals to it. And I only sing in this tuning right here. Well, I sing in other tunes. That's the tuning I play solo.
Do you have different guitars that you're...
I have 6 guitars, but that don't play all... That don't mean nothing. All of them play the same thing.
You're going to bring more than one?
Oh, I can't carry one. That's why I play different kinds. If I play solo, I know what guitar to bring. If I know play something else, I know what guitar to bring.
James Blood Ulmer, thank you so much for joining Sugar in My Bowl and allowing us to spend this time with you. I really appreciate it.
All right, thank you very much. Good talking to you.
And you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org on the web. You've been listening to Sugar in My Bowl. My name's Joyce Jones. Our guest for this evening is James Blood Omer. James Blood Omer will be at the Winter Jazz Festival this month on the 15th, the first of the marathon concert nights. He will be at the New School Auditorium on 12th Street. That's 66 West 12th Street. And his set is scheduled to start at 9 p.m. What you're listening to right now is song number one. That is from Phalanx. The release is called Original Phalanx. This is a Disc Union DIW Columbia Japan 1987 release. That's James Blood Omer on guitar, George Adams on tenor saxophone, Cerrone on bass, and Rashid Ali on drums. And we're going to end the program, as I mentioned, with Jane Cortez. This is going to be another recording from Borders of Disorderly Time. The selection that we're going to play is In the Morning. So that's how we're going to end the program. We're going to give Jane Cortez the last word. Before song number one by Phalanx, we heard My Most Favorite Thing, James Blood Omer, from his release Birthright, the 2005 Hyena Records release, the James Blood Omer solo guitar release. James Blood Omer is also on vocals in this recording. We also heard another selection before that, Geechee Joe from Birthright, where James Blood Omer pretty much makes it plain about his upbringing and his foundation and what has made him who he is today, as was another selection that played previously, White Man's Jail. This was also from Birthright. Before that, we heard Theme from Captain Black, James Blood Omer's Tales of Captain Black. That was originally recorded in 1978. This is a 1996 Disc Union DIW Columbia Japan release. James Blood Omer on guitar, Ornette Coleman on tenor saxophone, Jamila Dean Takuma on electric bass, and Donardo Coleman on drums. Before that, we heard Arena from James Blood Omer's Harmelodic Guitar with Strings. This is a 1993 Disc Union DIW Columbia Japan release. James Blood Omer on guitar, vocals on others. Quartet Indigo, which includes Akua Dixon Toure on cello, Ron Lawrence on viola, Gail Dixon on first violin, and John Blake on second violin. Before that, we heard Spoonful, James Blood Omer's interpretation of Chester Burnett, Howlin' Wolf's Spoonful, from Memphis Blood, The Sun Sessions. This was recorded in 2001. This is a 2003 Hyena Records release. This was also produced by Vernon Reed, who joins James Blood Omer on guitar, and James Blood Omer supplies the vocals. Charles Burnham on electric fiddle, slide mandolin, Rick Steff on Wurlitzer organ, and also Hammond B3 organ and accordion on other selections, David Barnes on harmonica, Mark Peterson on bass, and Aubrey Dale on drums. Before that, we heard Revealing. That's James Blood Omer's debut as a leader. This is the title cut. It was originally recorded in 1977. This is a 1990 In and Out Records release. James Blood Omer on guitar, George Adams on tenor saxophone, and Cecil McBee on bass. Stay tuned for La Nueva Alternativa coming up next, and we'll be back on January 24th. Stay tuned. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web. See you at the Winter Jazz Fest. Thank you.
Disguised in my mouth as a swampland, nailed to my teeth like a rising sun. You come out in the middle of fish scale, you bleed into gourds wrapped with red ants. You syncopate the air with screams from Yazoo, and somewhere strip like a whirlwind, strip for the shrine room. You sing to me through side face of a black rooster in the morning, in the morning, in the morning. All over my door like a rooster in the morning, in the morning, in the morning. And studded in my kidneys like perforated hiccups, inflamed in my ribs like three hoops of thunder through a screw. You breathe into failed raisins, scented ice holes. You fire the space and palpitate with the worms and venom and wailing flanks. And somewhere inside this feed fur, inside this patinaed pubic and camouflage slit, you shake in full crown of a black rooster. In the morning, in the morning, in the morning. Masquerading in my horn like a river, eclipse to these infantry adventures of diving spears. You enter broken mirrors through fragmented pipe sticks. You pull into a shadow ring of magic jelly. You wear the sacrificial blood of nightfall. You lift the ceiling with my tropical slush dance. You slide and tumble with the reputation of an earthquake. And when I kick through walls to shine like silver, you wail to me through drum call of a black rooster. In the morning, in the morning, in the morning. In the morning. In the morning, gonna kill me a rooster in the morning, early in the morning, way down in the morning, before the sun passes by in the morning, when the deep sea goes through a dog bite, and you spit on tip of your long knife in the morning, when peroxide falls on a bed of broken glass, and the sun rises like a polyester ball of menses in the morning, gonna fire dance in the petrol in the morning. Turn loose the blues in the funky jungle in the morning. I said when you see the morning coming like a two-headed twister, let it blow, let it blow. In the morning, all swollen up like an ocean in the morning. Early in the morning, before the cream dries in the bushes in the morning. When you hear the rooster cry, cry, rooster, cry. In the morning, disguised in my mouth as a swampland, nailed to my teeth like a rising sun. You come out in the middle of fish scale, you bleed into gorge wrapped with red ants. You from Yazoo, and somewhere stripped like a whirlwind. Strip for the shrine room, you seem to be through sideways of a black rooster in the morning, in the morning, in the morning.
Hello? Bueno, this is Sonia Sanchez. I urge you to give your generous support to listener-sponsored community radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.